One way to look at the value of nature, it's billions of years of research and development. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Jed Kim, in for Molly Wood. Say you've got a design problem you need to fix. You could lock a bunch of egghead engineers into a room and force them to brainstorm, or you could look to the natural world. Biomimicry is the practice of replicating the adaptations found in nature. Like the body imaging scanners at airports, they're based on the echolocation of some bats. Eons of natural selection have made a wealth of data that's ripe for the picking. All types of companies are increasingly bringing biologists into the design process early on. Janine Benyus is co-founder of the biology-inspired consulting company Biomimicry 3.8. 3.8 refers to the 3.8 billion years of life on the planet. Benyus also literally wrote the book on biomimicry back in 1997, when the idea and the term for it was just emerging.
When I was looking for examples of this back in 94, 95, it was really hard to find. So it was mostly in academia, and now it's kind of jumped into industry.
Where does a biomimicry idea originate from? Is it a biologist saying, like, hey, this plant does something that could be really useful for solar power? Or is it like a solar engineer calling up a botanist and saying, hey, do you have any cool plant research I can use?
Both happens. But now that it's jumped to industry, industry have particular functional challenges. So that's how most biomimicry is done now, is challenge first. It's kind of amazing because biology is not organized by function. So if Sherwin-Williams calls you up and says, you know, we want a different way to make paint, and we want to make the color yellow without cadmium, we'll go into the natural world and find how nature makes yellow. So if it's, you know, bacterial or plant or animal, and we do this huge survey across taxa, we call it amoeba through zebra report.
What are the challenges getting different fields to play ball with each other?
Very often, we'll bring in a biologist, and then we'll also hire an engineer to be literally the spokesperson, you know, the translator between the two. Because that's the biggest thing, is the language. What breaks through that is to break everything down into function. An engineer will come to us and say, you know, we want a helmet that protects against concussions. What you have to do is say, what are you actually trying to do? And so then you can look at lots of things, right? Then you begin to look at things like woodpeckers and how do they protect their brain when they're pecking. You know, impact resistance is the function. So for instance, Bauer has a new product, which is an anti-concussion product based on their study of the woodpecker. It's a small band that goes around the neck. So it's not a helmet at all. And so once we get down to that level of function, then the differences between engineering and biology go away.
The tech industry is not exactly known for humility. And how is biomimicry different than, say, like thinking about it as like hacking nature for an answer, like in a way that might steal ideas from the natural world but isn't like adding to sustainability?
You know, biomimicry has these three areas that you can look at. You can just mimic form. Then you can look at process, which is, you know, how do you make it? What happens to it at the end of its life? You know, that is the third one, which is mimicking at the systems level. That's something called circular economy, right? Where a lot of people right now are thinking about the life cycle of a product and actually the reincarnation. What does it become in its next life? That material flow story is where we get, I think, into the deepest rather than shallow biomimicry.
In biomimicry, nature obviously is incredibly important because it's the source for ideas. Meanwhile, with climate change, I feel like we're always getting new headlines about a new report out that talks about impending mass extinctions. Is there an urgency to kind of growing this field as fast as possible?
Absolutely. I mean, I gotta have to sort of keep the panic at bay because I read the articles that talk about the hemorrhaging of life, and you know, the new one, a million species are gonna be facing extinction within a very short time frame.
Yeah, is that like a loss of source material?
That's a loss of, right, exactly. That's a loss of not just one adaptation, but so many. You look at one organism, like the shark, right? And you think, okay, we can learn about drag reduction because they're so fast and sleek. You can also learn about, you know, how their sensory apparatus, you know, that can help with our transportation. But on the skin of the Galapagos shark, there's absolutely no bacteria. And it's not chemical. It's a physical nanostructures, the way its denticles are formed. And bacteria don't like to land there. So a company called Sharklet in Colorado mimicked this, and it's now it's a physical antibacterial for hospitals, like, you know, a thin film you put on doorknobs and bed rails, and it doesn't breed for resistance. And so as a biologist watching that, it's heartbreaking for me. And one of the ways that I try to get people to want to protect this planet is by saying, you know, they're geniuses. You know, we're surrounded by geniuses, and to respect them in that way to say, let's keep them around because there's much that they can teach us.
Janine Benyus is co-founder of consulting firm Biomimicry 3.8. She recorded her voice with her iPhone and told us even that uses biomimicry. A chip inside filters out background noise based on how our brains pick out a single conversation in a busy room. And now for some related links. The military is exploring biotechnology to solve problems like radiation, sunburn, and malaria. BreakingDefense.com has an article about ideas like engineering microorganisms to make naturally insect-repelling uniforms, or even plants that react to chemical or radiation leaks. Fun fact, the military sometimes refers to mosquitoes as arthropods of military significance. You heard me ask Janine Benyus about what biomimicry advances we might lose as climate change leads to species extinctions. New research out of MIT indicates that our pattern of carbon emissions, if it goes unchecked, could push us past a threshold, after which the carbon cycle goes crazy and Earth would experience its sixth mass extinction. Super fun reading if you're into that. And finally, we've actually talked about biomimicry on our show before, although perhaps we didn't call it that. Back in October, I spoke with Eric Loth, a University of Virginia engineering professor, about a new form of wind turbine that's supposed to reach taller than the Empire State Building and whose design is based on the leaves of palm trees. I'm Jed Kim, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.